Happy 4th of July. I think I can say that. It's a beautiful day. It's hard to believe that just was 5 years ago, Nicole was born. She's 5 years old today. And as I mentioned to Mr. Wilkie yesterday, and we're all 5 years older too. So, yeah. Sorry about that. In the book of Revelation, the number 7 appears many, many times. I'll just give you a few of the times. It's actually mentioned, the number 7 is mentioned 59 times in the book of Revelation. And I think in the rest of the New Testament, it's only mentioned about 30-some times. In Revelation, it mentions 7 churches, 7 spirits, 7 candlesticks, 7 lamps, 7 seals, 7 trumpets, and 7 thunders. And like I said, 52 more times the number 7 is mentioned. There are actually 12 sevens just in the first chapter of Revelation. Now, some claim that the number 7 means completeness because God created the earth in 7 days and finished it. And some claim that the number 12 is also completeness. So it's interesting to me that there's 12 sevens in the very first chapter. Now, number 7 is also in Revelation, not the word 7, but events. The word earthquake is mentioned 7 times. There are 7 blessings. Where it talks about blessed is, one of them is thinking of Naomi, that blessed are those who die in the Lord from this time on. And it says, blessed are those who hear and read and keep this book. The word prophecy 7 times, kingdom. God Almighty is 6 times and 1 time Almighty God. So that makes 7. The bottomless pit is mentioned 7 times. And this book is mentioned 7 times. So the message today is not about the number 7. But it is about one of these 7s that I just mentioned. And it's about the 7 spirits of God. And if you go to Revelation, we'll turn there and look at verse 1-4. In Revelation 1, verse 4, it says, John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him who is, and who was, and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne. Now, reading several commentaries about this particular verse, there's a lot of confusion. Some say that these 7 spirits are literally 7 different spirits before his throne. Others say that it's just the Holy Spirit. There's one that even gives the names of each one of these spirits. No proof, didn't give us any Bible backup on that. So just a lot of confusion about the 7 spirits which are before his throne. Now, in chapter 4, in verse 5, let's go there and let's read what it says there about the 7 spirits. Chapter 4, in verse 5, says, out of the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. There again, confusion, a lot of misunderstanding about this. I'm not sure. I don't understand exactly what it means. The 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits. Then let's go to Revelation 5 and verse 6. Revelation 5 and verse 6. There it says, and I behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts and the midst of the elders stood a lamb. Now we know that's Jesus Christ. As it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth unto all the earth. I don't know what that means. I wish I did. Perhaps the information is somewhere. Perhaps you know, and you can tell me, that the seven horns and the seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. All right, now one last time, the seven spirits are mentioned, and this, we'll go back to Revelation 3 and verse 1. Revelation 3 and verse 1, it says, And unto the angel of the church in Sardis, write, these things, says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, you have a name that you have, you live, but you are dead. But it says that this one, these things says he, that he is Jesus Christ, and this one has the seven spirits of God. So this is the one I want to talk about today. I think we can understand this one a little bit more. So with that, we'll just keep that in mind, that we're going to be talking about he that has the seven spirits of God. The point of the message today is to remind us of the awesome power that comes with the Holy Spirit and the help that the Holy Spirit can give us in our spiritual lives. So the title is just the seven spirits of God. Now, in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to set a little background here. But in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12, it says, Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. And that we is talking about the saints, those that God chose, those that are his elect people. It says, But we received the Spirit which is of God, the Holy Spirit. And the reason that we've received this is because we might know the things that are freely given to us. So God gives us the Spirit so we can understand the things that's written in the Bible and the things that He gives us. Let's go to Romans 8 and verse 11 to show that we have His Spirit. But if the Spirit of Him, this is Romans 8, in verse 11, Romans 8 is the Holy Spirit chapter. It says in verse 11, But if the Spirit of Him, God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, so saying, if this Spirit, this Holy Spirit from God, dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead and also gave life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit, that dwells in you. He will also give us life. And that's at the return of Jesus Christ. Those that are dead will be resurrected, given a new body, and those that are alive will be changed. Like I said, it's just reminding you of these things. You know most of this. Now, when Christ was born, He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at that in Luke 4 and verse 1. In Luke 4, in verse 1, it says, Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Then Jesus, being filled, He was full of the Holy Spirit. In John 3:34, if you want to turn there, I'll just read it. It says, For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, But God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. So Jesus Christ did not get the Holy Spirit by measure. He got it in full. And I'll just read Colossians 1:19. It says, For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, referring to the Holy Spirit. Others in the New Testament that was filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth, if you want to write the verses down, I'll give them to you. You can check them out later. We're not going to look at them now. Elizabeth, that's Luke 1:41, shows that she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Zechariah, her husband, He was also filled with the Holy Spirit. That's Luke 1:67. John the Baptist, if you want to look at this one, in Luke 1:15, John the Baptist, Luke 1:15, said, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." So John the Baptist was filled from his mother's womb with the Holy Spirit. And remember, Christ said, of all the men born in the world, none is greater than him. But he who is least in the kingdom is greater than John. Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 13:9. Stephen, the first martyr. Acts 7:55. Let's look at Acts 13:52. I didn't write this one down, but I want to read that one. Acts 13. Acts 13:52. Now this is on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost, all the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So Peter, James, and John, and all the apostles, they were all filled at that time with the Holy Spirit. Now, you and I, we were not filled with the Holy Spirit when we repented, when we were baptized and we had hands laid on us. We were not filled with the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:5. 2 Corinthians 5:5. It says, "Now he who has prepared us, the saints, for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." Other versions, the King James, or that's the New Kings, the King James Version says, "Now he that has wrought us for the self-same thing is God, who has also given us the earnest of the Spirit." Earnest. Earnest means, I'll read it to you here, and I think we all know this too, that earnest is a business term. They used to use it in real estate all the time. But the definition, an earnest or earnest money, a large part of a payment given in advance as a security that the whole will be paid afterwards. So when we're giving, when we're baptized, have hands laid on us, receive the Holy Spirit, we just get, as Mr. Armstrong used to say, a begettal. We're just begotten at that time. Then we are to grow. As a baby grows in a mother's womb, we are to grow in the church. Well, that word is used three times. That earnest is used three times in the King James Version. Now, one more verse here, or a couple more verses before I get into this, what I wanted to talk about, but laying a foundation here. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12:1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," this is the New King James Version, "brethren, I would not have you ignorant." So talking about spiritual gifts, Paul tells the Corinthians, "I don't want you to be ignorant." Now in 12:4, it says there are diversities of gifts, but it is the same Spirit. So diversities mean more, different of the Spirit. I like the way the Living Bible puts it. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:1, "And now, brethren, I want to write about the spatial abilities the Holy Spirit gives to each of you. For I don't want any misunderstanding about your calling. Spatial abilities. Ephesians 4:4, I won't turn there, but it says, there is one body and there is one Spirit. So we want to understand there is only one Spirit, but there are diversities of abilities with the Spirit. Now let's go to Isaiah 11. The book of Isaiah, chapter 11. Isaiah 11 and verse 1, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, like I said, in Revelations, there's a lot of confusion among the commentaries and even the people in the world that you listen to. A lot of confusion about the seven spirits of God. But there's no confusion in any about who this is. It says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. They all recognize this as Jesus Christ. And we can, if you go over into verse, let's see, 06, it talks about the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. So we know that that's talking about the kingdom of God. And so this branch is Jesus Christ. Now let's look at what it says about this branch. It says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Let's see. Luke 4, verse 16. Let's go there. Christ is quoting from Isaiah, but let's go to Luke 4. Luke 4, and we'll read 16 and to 18. Okay, this is talking about Jesus Christ, and he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom. And they handed the book of the prophet Isaiah to him, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The same thing it says back here in Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. So that's all we'll read there in Luke. We'll get back to Isaiah 11. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Now we come into some of the different attributes of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and the Spirit of might. The Spirit of knowledge, and on Jesus Christ was also the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And in the King James Version it says, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. Now, I want to look at each one of these. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. In Proverbs 3:19, let's look at that. Proverbs 3:19. Well, we'll be in Proverbs. You might want to keep something in Isaiah. We'll come back to that. But Proverbs 3 and verse 19 says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, and by understanding he established the heavens. And we might say the Lord by the Spirit of wisdom founded the earth. and by the spirit of knowledge, by the spirit of understanding, he established the heavens, and by the spirit of knowledge, the depths were broken up. There's a lot in the Revelations about spirits, about the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, and the spirit of knowledge. It's all through the book of Revelation. Now, Deuteronomy 34:9, to show that it's not just Christ that has these things, and there's so many verses about this. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 9. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 9. Last chapter in Deuteronomy. It says, now Joshua, now this was a man, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands on him, so the children of Israel heeded him and did it as the Lord commanded Moses. So here's Joshua who had the spirit of wisdom. In Daniel 5:14, Daniel 5, in verse 14, Daniel 5:14. The king said, I have heard of you, talking about Daniel. He says, I have heard of you that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light, and I'll say the spirit of understanding, and the spirit of excellent wisdom are found in you. So here's Daniel, who also had each of these spirit and understanding, of understanding and wisdom. Now the next one, that took care of the spirit of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Let's go to Proverbs 8. This is one of my favorite Proverbs, really. Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8 is like wisdom is talking to us. She calls herself our sister. But in Proverbs 8:12, each of these are mentioned again. The word counsel is mentioned 143 times in all the Bible, and it's mentioned 16 times in the book of Proverbs. Counsel can mean giving advice or getting advice. There can be good counsel, and there can be bad counsel. And the word also can mean a plan. It helped me understand Isaiah 47, where it talks about where God says, I am God, and there's none else. I am God, and there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, saying my counsel will stand, or my plan will stand. And I will do all my pleasure. So God has a plan. He has an appointed time for when that plan comes to an end. And it's all right on schedule. But in Proverbs 8, starting in verse 12, it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. In the verses 8 through 15, actually through 14, each of these spirits, these attributes are mentioned. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth, I hate. God says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. Well, that word strength is the same as it says in Isaiah 11, might. This is about counsel and might. It's the same exact word. It says, I have strength. Then 15 says, by me kings reign. Who are going to be kings one day? You know, God's people. That's our goal. Kings and priests. God knows what we'll be capable of doing, but All these things will be in you at that time. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. And now let's go back to Proverbs 3:22 and just look at that. It says, for the perverse person is an abomination to the Lord, but the secret counsel, God's secret counsel, who's it with? It's with His saints, the upright. Who are the upright? The righteous. Not their own righteousness, but God's righteousness in them. And Daniel, let's go to Daniel 2:4. Showing that Daniel had this. Daniel 2:4. Then with counsel, I'll just say, then with the spirit of counsel and the spirit of wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. So here's Daniel. He's a man. And he has the spirit of counsel and might. In 2 Timothy 1:7, we won't go there, but it's a verse we're all very familiar with. It says, but God is not giving us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and of a sound mind. This fear is might. He's given us a spirit of might and power. Micah 3:8, I'll just read that. It says, but truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. So here's another man, just a human being. I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord, and justice and might. There again, might. To declare to Jacob his transgressions and to Israel his sin. So we've looked at wisdom, understanding, counsel and might and knowledge. The last one is the fear of the Lord. Jesus Christ had the spirit of the fear of the Lord. The word fear in the Old Testament is mentioned. The word fear is translated from four different words. And maybe more. I found four. And those four mean anywhere from to be afraid, to be scared, or to stand in awe of God. We are to stand in awe of God, absolutely. But there is another reason why we have the fear of the Lord. We are to be afraid. We're afraid. We're supposed to be afraid of sin. I do have a couple of verses here that I want to look at. I lost a page, and if I didn't find it, I'd be up here all day because it was the conclusion. All right, now the fear of the Lord. I've heard a lot of sermons on the fear of the Lord. Matter of fact, I just got through listening to several from a minister. And the truth is, we are to respect God. That's one of the things of the fear. We are to respect God. We are to honor Him, praise Him, give Him the glory because He is so great. And you know, if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't even be here. He owns you. He owns me. He owns the earth. He owns the universe. And He can do whatever He wants. He can do His own good pleasure. Exodus 20:20. Let's go to Exodus 20:20. Look what it says about the fear of the Lord. Exodus 20:20. And Moses said to the people, do not fear. Now you know what we're not to fear? When it says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give us a spirit of fear. We are not to fear evil. Psalms 23, verse 4, says, I will fear no evil. And there's several other verses that show that we are not to fear Satan. We're not to fear the demons. We're not to fear anything that is evil. But we are to fear God. For God has come to test you, and that His fear may be before you. That word is a different word than the first one. That last word, which is His fear, that is Y-I-R-A-H, I won't try to pronounce it, Strong's 3374, and it means exceedingly afraid. That His fear may be before you. Why? So that you may not sin. We fear God, so we won't sin. We know we don't want to sin. We know that if we do sin, we can go to God in repentance, and He forgives us. But we really need to strive to not sin. Another verse I thought was very interesting is in Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32, verse 40. Jeremiah 32 and verse 40. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will not turn away from doing them good. But I will put my fear, there again, exceedingly afraid. I will put my fear in their hearts. So why? So that they will not depart from me. So we have this fear in us. We don't fear God in that we're afraid of Him in the one sense. We're afraid to not sin. We're afraid to sin, and we're not to sin, and we're afraid to ever leave God. He says, I will never, and I think the text means never, 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 never leave you nor forsake you. Our attitude has to be the same to God and Jesus Christ. We will never, never depart from Him. And if we have this spirit, the fear of the Lord in us, We won't leave Him. Okay, getting close to the end here. I have several verses, but one more book to go to. In the Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 12. Ephesians 1, in verse 12. This is one last several verses, but we're going to read from 12 down to 23. And this is Paul writing to the Ephesians and to the church. He's writing to you and to me. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We talked about the earnest of the Spirit. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit when we first repented, were baptized, had hands laid on us, and then received the Holy Spirit. That's when we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, that is the guarantee of our inheritance. It's a guarantee. Absolute guarantee of our inheritance. And our inheritance is the kingdom of God and eventually the whole universe. the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So this is talking about Paul's prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, the spirit of knowledge, and I'll go on to say the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, and the spirit of the Lord. I think we can pray for those ourselves. And I think we should pray for those often, that God will renew us with each of these spirits, these attributes of the Spirit, that He'll renew us with them, and that we can be led by them and grow in them and become more like sons of God. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling. The hope of our calling is eternal life. The hope of our calling is to be changed from the flesh to a spirit body. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? God has awesome power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. And as I said before, He who raised Christ from the dead, if you have that Spirit in you, He will also raise you from the dead, or change you when Christ returns, and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age that which is to come, the age to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body. The church is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Brethren, now is the time for us to call upon God, to pray for these attributes of the Holy Spirit. And there's more than just these. These are actually six. If you include the Holy Spirit itself, that makes seven in the chapter 11 of Isaiah. So there's six mentioned there, but you know there's, if you go and look in the concordance and look at the Spirit, it says there's a Spirit of truth. There's a Spirit of grace. And there's many more. We can call upon God to fill us with them so that we can obey Him more and more. We can love Him more and more. We can endure to the very end. And finally, be changed. Be a new creation in the kingdom of God. Godspeed that day.